following program is intended for mature audiences.
Get off the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News, now with Sal Manella.
Good evening. This is Sal Manella with the Veritas News. When White House Press Secretary Sarah Colonel Sanders was asked, why has the president said absolutely nothing about our government's expulsion of 60 Russian so-called diplomats and spies? She said this. Reporters at a White House briefing were left to speculate on Trump's and her silence about the Russians. An administration leaker, on condition of anonymity, says that President derelict Trump, never the one to be outdone, is trying to rack up at least 6 minutes and 21 seconds of public silence to beat Parkland, Florida's now famous militant activist, gun shooting target Emma Gonzalez, who made millions who witnessed her powerful symbolic silence cry. Not everyone thinks Trump's attempt at 6 minutes and 21 seconds of silence represents Emma Gonzalez's symbolic silence. Porn star Stormy Daniels reveals Trump's wager with her that if he can stay silent in public on any subject a second longer than the time it took him to orgasm during their one sexual encounter, she should fade out of public awareness. Ms. Daniels says that only 5 minutes and 6 seconds is needed for that, but she also reminds us that she didn't take the bet. Ms. Daniels has revealed also that she kept the actual dress she wore the night she and President derelict Trump had sex in Beverly Hills. Upon hearing of its existence, National Presidential Archivists immediately sought to secure the garment after all legal proceedings between Ms. Daniels and Trump are completed. They intend to display the dress alongside of Monica Lewinsky's infamous dress in the forthcoming Washington, D.C. Museum of DNA Evidence. Opponents of the proposed museum remind us that while the archivists say it's forthcoming, they would only have DNA ejaculate evidence from only two presidents, Clinton and Trump. In quoting President Bill Clinton, they remind the archivists to, quote, do the math, end quote. With all the generals leaving the White House and the nation focused on Stormy Daniels, Americans wonder if, in fact, Trump is considering fighting off enemies with boobs on the ground. Finally, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos was asked to respond to the appropriateness of HUD's Ben Carson's taxpayer-funded purchase of a $31,000 dining table, Secretary Zinke's purchase of a $131,000 door, and Scott Pruitt's $105,000 purchase of first-class airline seats. She said, quote, these administration members have the right intention, but are often their focus. Instead of spending on tables, doors, and seats, they should be looking for a new cabinet, end quote. This has been Sal Manella with the Veritas News. Now here's Thomas Savino with Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Good evening. Thank you, Sal Manella. Thomas Savino here with Savino Veritas, coming to you live from Burbank, California. Besides Sal Manella, I hear Profiles in Hypocrisy, Fox News, The Ten Commandments of Atheism, How to Be a Good Atheist, two editions of Swami Salami and His Words of Wisdom, satirist Borowitz of The New Yorker lectures people on forming the elite party, the terrible, grotesque Sarah Huckabee Sanders, The Daily Show Desi Lydic, Jolton Joe DiMaggio, an opening day between the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington with Trumpire Gorsuch behind the plate, all on Savino Veritas. Thank you for joining us, the fine wine of select gripes.
Would you, as president, meet with the leaders of a country like North Korea? Obama extraordinarily said I'd meet with him.
Senator Obama made his intentions crystal clear on the campaign trail.
I will meet not just with our friends, but with our enemies.
President Obama likes talking to dictators.
He would meet with some of these madmen without any preconditions.
You know, I'm going to reach out to these crazy people around the world and try to get things done.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake.
Obama is bowing and scraping before dictators.
What is Team Obama doing establishing formal contacts with these people?
A remarkable turnaround in relations between two historic adversaries.
The commander-in-chief's leadership is now leading to a major foreign policy breakthrough.
Another stunning Donald Trump breakthrough.
President Trump scoring a big win.
It's time to celebrate a great victory when it happens.
President Trump proves the experts wrong again and scores a stunning diplomatic triumph.
How about this? The fact that all he wants is to get them back to the table as a precondition.
Sure.
Not, I'll give up. If you give up your nuclear weapons, then we'll talk.
Why would the administration think that this is a group they could do business with?
I have no idea.
Those who hate us will always hate us. And the hatred for America is never going to go away.
It is a definite win for the president.
And it's a huge win for this country.
It's breathtaking. It's audacious. It's bold. It will be historic. I'm juiced about it.
It'll be magnificent for the people of Korea.
Be magnificent for the world.
Obama would personally negotiate with leaders of terrorist nations like Iran and North Korea without preconditions. Wow.
The world will probably be a little bit safer. The media should be giving President Trump credit for that.
I'm not sure there's any real discussing issues with Kim Jong-un.
He may be the one president who would actually do this, who would go meet with the North Korean leader.
Look, it's a bad idea for the president to speak to Kim Jong-un.
Why wait till the end of May? Let's do this by the end of March.
The current president truly believes that he's the chosen one, cannot deal with criticism.
We are really in danger of living in a sort of pretty little dream world where Barack Obama thinks the power of his personality is going to have this incredible transformative impact on these crazy men all over the world.
President Trump made the decision himself to meet face to face with Kim Jong-un.
This guy has a very unique quality of leadership.
He is so charming. He can deal with people. He can get along with people. I think that this will only work out well.
The idea, which has been fanciful from the start, that we could talk North Korea out of its nuclear weapons program.
You cannot make such a promise, not when you're dealing with these madmen who do want to destroy America.
Is he going to stop on his way in Oslo to get the Nobel Peace Prize?
If it works, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
It would be something.
You give that man the Nobel Prize, there's no question.
But let's be, the chances of that are right around zero, I think.
Will always be fair and balanced, would not the left-wing destroy Trump media.
How can you become a high-caliber atheist? You're going to need to learn how to become nothing like the closed-minded, underdeveloped religious people that you're obviously better than. So that you can rise to gold medal status in atheism, I'm going to share with you the 10 essential atheist commandments that you need to know. Thou shalt not believe in anything that can't be proven. As an atheist, your ability to believe that you can disprove things by pointing out that those things can't be proven proves that you're always right.
You can't prove that heaven exists, and that proves there is no heaven. Checkmate, son.
Thou shalt not have any religion. Pretty obvious here. Having a religion is a surefire way of killing your free will, which is the holy grail of atheism.
Since I found atheism, my life has turned around. I've never been happier. Life makes so much more sense to me now. I love being an atheist.
Thou shalt not be dogmatically closed-minded. Your intelligence and being a person of science makes you more advanced than those with a dogmatic religious mindset.
Science tells you what's real and what's not. Science is not only the path to truth, it's the only path to truth. Everything else is bogus.
Thou shalt believe that no one can tell you what happens after you die. Heaven, hell, you're smart enough to know that no one knows what happens.
I'll tell you what happens to you after you die. Nothing. It's just like you've gone to sleep and you never wake up. That's what happens. Guaranteed.
Thou shalt not believe in saviors and their holy books. You need to understand that the idea of one man and his book having all the answers is foolish.
If you want to know the truth, you need to read God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. It explains everything. It's so true.
Thou shalt view creationism as an insultingly childish idea. As an atheist, you need to be appalled at the idea that some higher power could magically create this intricate world.
The world was created by the Big Bang. There was almost immeasurable power to it. Much more power than what a person is capable of harnessing. It's like there was a higher amount of power in the Big Bang.
Thou shalt criticize religious people for being offended when their beliefs are questioned. It's them showing signs of their weakness and their inability to be rational.
You think science is limited? Let me tell you something. There is nothing more accurate than science. Why don't you use your brain? Maybe God didn't give you a brain, because there is no God. So you got no brain.
Thou shalt not believe that invisible forces are influencing you. That's about as likely as a bunny laying a chocolate egg.
Gravity is a force constantly at work. You're under its influence 24/7. You can't see it, but it's there. Newton's law and what have you.
Thou shalt replace flimsy faith with reason. Faith is a fleeting fallacy of the heart that'll cause you to sail off the edge of the world. Reason ensures that your head always stays in control.
You can have complete faith that your ability to reason always leads you to the best decisions possible, which is pretty reasonable.
Thou shalt not believe that God is a loving God. That is, if there really was a God. As an atheist, you know that if there really was a loving God, He wouldn't let people get hurt and suffer. It's just common sense, which also proves there is no God.
That's substantial proof that you're a bad parent and don't love your children if you let them use their own free will, because it'll cause them to get hurt sometimes. Loving parents keep their children in cages, so they'll never get hurt. That's love.
With a solid grasp of these commandments, you'll have a good life as a high-functioning, free-thinking atheist. Enjoy.
Linghams and Yarnies, it's Swami Salami.
Satnam Namaste, Swami Salami here. Facing the truth up front rather than turning from it will keep your life moving in a forward and positive life-affirming direction. Unless you are facing your own self-inflicted demise atop the Golden Gate Bridge, knowing that you are in truth stupid, ugly, and lonely. Then you'll keep your life moving in a downward and wet direction. Most of us have had the experience of being in possession of a piece of truth that we are afraid to share because we know it would not be well received. Like when you know it's you who farted in the crowded elevator. There are also instances which we ourselves have been unable to handle some truth confronting us. This might be a small truth, such as not wanting to see that our car needs repairs because we don't want to pay for them, or a large truth, such as not fully accepting that someone close to us is pushing us away, like in that fart cloud crowded elevator. Usually the truth is evident and we can see it if we choose. But we have elaborate ways of hiding the truth from ourselves, no matter how apparent it is, don't we, Republican? For the most part, we avoid the truth because it scares us, or makes us angry, or makes us feel like we don't know what to do. like when we opt to spend hundreds of dollars more for a folding bed delivered fully constructed rather than even making an attempt to figure out IKEA assembly instructions. We often create our lives based on particular understanding. And if that understanding turns out to be fully or even partially incorrect, we may feel that our whole sense of reality is being threatened, like eating tons of oat bran for decades to lower cholesterol only to find out now it is toxic and we shouldn't lower our cholesterol. It takes a strong person to face the truth in circumstances like these. And in the example of eating the bran will not only make you full of poop, but will ultimately be telling the truth under oaths. Nevertheless, we can only avoid the truth for so long before it begins to make itself known in ever more forceful ways. Ultimately, there's no way to avoid the truth, no matter how painful it is. So the sooner we let down our defenses, the better. When we know the truth and accept that we may have to adjust our lives to accommodate it, we are in alignment with reality. At the same time, we can be patient with people around us who have a hard time seeing the truth. GOPers, because we know how painful it can be. Whatever the truth is, we have a sincere effort not to close our eyes to it, but instead to be grateful that we have access to it, and hope San Francisco's fog is thick enough to break our fall, and that we'll remember to swim when we emerge onto the surface of the bay. Sat Nam Namaste. Swami Salami.
Lingams and Yannis, it's Swami Salami.
Sat Nam Namaste, Swami Salami. Today I'm talking about soul seeing and soul gazing. The soul is the purest expression of an individual in the foot, the very foundation of one's body. The spiritual soul is not bound by physical forms or fleeting emotions. Nor is the foot soul unless your shoes are too tight. While soul seeing is usually thought of as gazing into a partner's eyes, Swami Salami prefers to take a mile-long walk, not in your shoes but barefoot, to find our earthbound cosmic truth. When we want to see deeply into the heart and mind of another person, soul seeing, also called soul gazing, allows us to see their soul. The soul is the purest expression of an individual and is not tied by physical forms, especially when wearing slip-ons or Velcro fasteners. Through a simple art that involves looking intently focused upon a person's foot, soul seeing might not show you a person's inner beauty, but can reveal the steps that person had taken on the path, especially gravity paths, leaving indentations on the soul. It is possible for someone who appears cold to have a warm, perhaps even sweaty and clammy soul. Or someone on average appearance to have a beautiful soul with enticingly formed arch. Soul seeing is a way of looking past shapes, attitudes, and behaviors to see sizes, widths, and bunions, all telling aspects of effects of person's real travels and trials, not so much beneath the surface, but on the surface of the earth. Soul seeing is accomplished by sitting face to face with another person. It is helpful to first state your intention before beginning. Like when you were young, you propose with a friend, "I'll show you mine if you show me yours." As you stare softly into each other's eyes, remember, it's her feet you're supposed to be looking at. Then don't get confused. Don't get confused. While it is the bottom you're supposed to be staring at, it should be the bottom of her feet where you focus your gaze. Without stopping to look away, each of your souls is revealed to each other. Additionally, you might see a bunion or a corn or two, but focus on each other's souls. Try not to look for anything in particular or seek traits you're hoping to find. Simply let the other person's soul reveal its callous nature and fungus nail to you. After 20 minutes of past stay where you are and share a period of silent reflection with your partner for 2 minutes before soaking the soles in warm water and Dr. Scholl's foot salts. Then dry each other's feet to reveal which one of you is ticklish. You may have suddenly seen your partner's inner nature by looking closely at each other's earthbound souls. That's no small feat. See what I did there? Soul seeing can help you experience the people in your life as they truly are, warts and all. You may not want or need to walk a mile in each other's shoes, but take a good look at each other's souls, foot by foot. Sat Nam, Namaste, Swami Salami.
You hear about Trump?
Oh, thank you. Sweet. Thank you. What are we doing? We are here tonight at the New York Society for Ethical Culture to talk about Donald Trump, which, by the way, is the first time Donald Trump has been used in the same sentence as ethical. True. Or culture. Or society. We just keep going. Just keep going. During the campaign, there was a lot of talk about populism, right? What an amazing movement populism was. And the media was enthralled by this whole concept of populism. Well, tonight, I am going to launch my own movement. I call it elitism. I think it's a good brand. And here's the thought behind my movement. Very simple. I think that the President of the United States should be smarter than I am. That's it. Very simple. Because if you think about the job, the President has to deal with a lot of tricky stuff, right? Like healthcare. Who knew healthcare was so complicated? Fucking everybody knew, but it is a tough job, and you need a smart guy to do that job. And it seems like we had a guy like that very recently, like for 8 years. And now when I think about those 8 years, they seem like a hallucination. It's like we had a guy in the White House who knew stuff and read books and possessed impulse control. Was I on mushrooms? Did that really happen? You know, the problem is we were so excited in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected, we did not attach enough significance to something else that happened that year, a very, very ominous development. The advent of Sarah Palin, because Sarah Palin was the gateway idiot who led to Donald Trump. She lowered the bar flush to the ground, and he oozed right under it. Fact. I remember the pivotal moment in this whole shit show. It was in 2008 when she was being interviewed by Katie Couric. And Katie Couric asked her, she said, name one Supreme Court decision that you disagree with. And Sarah Palin drew a blank. And she said, I'll have to think about that, and I'll get back to ya. Okay, now, dude, one Supreme Court decision. You got to pull something out your ass at that point. I mean, Ali versus Frazier. Just say something. The Republicans have gone from Abraham Lincoln to Sarah Palin to Donald Trump. No wonder they don't believe in evolution. And I mean, look, I don't expect Donald Trump to be like a total brainiac like Barack Obama. That's not fair. But I do think it would be nice if he could spell words like heel and tap. Words that would be insulting if they appeared on a first grader spelling quiz. A first grader would be like, heel, tap, what is this shit? Don't patronize me. Our country used to be smart. Our country used to be smart. 5 decades ago, we put a man on the moon. Now, granted, we did that with the help of Wernher von Braun, who was a Nazi. But that's my point. Even the quality of our Nazis has gone down. Our Nazis used to be rocket scientists. Now they're marching morons with tiki torches. Our Nazis are a disgrace. A couple of ground rules for the evening. At no point tonight will we chant, lock him up. We're not going to do that. No, no, no. I'll tell you. Because you are better than that, New Yorker Festival audience. You are. Because you understand that we live in a nation of laws, all right? And for Donald Trump to be locked up, he would first have to be legally removed from office and then put on trial and then found guilty by a jury of his peers. In other words, 12 malignant narcissists. However, all that would have to happen legally. And so tonight, no matter how much we despise Donald Trump and everything he stands for and everything he's doing, we are not going to indulge in a bunch of grotesque revenge fantasies. But if all that were to happen legally, here's how I would like to see it play out, okay? I would like the impeachment to be a pay-per-view event. It would just totally wipe out the national debt, just like that. And as long as we are being fiscally responsible, I want to do Mike Pence at the same time. Right? I would like to see Trump Tower turned into an Islamic cultural center. Yes. And I would like to see Mar-a-Lago converted to free housing for Puerto Rican refugees. Yes. There you go. Now, as for Ivanka and Jared and Don Jr. and Eric and Paul Manafort and Mike Flynn and Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, have I left anyone out? There's so many. I see one massive Nuremberg-style trial presided over by a Supreme Court justice chosen at random. Let's just say Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay? Sounds good. But as for Mike Pence, I want to send him to women's prison. And last but not least, Donald Trump. What are we going to do with him? Well, I want him guarded for the rest of his life exclusively by transgender troops. And he does not get his own prison cell. I want him to share a prison cell with Mexican drug lord El Chapo. In that prison cell, for the rest of his life, I want playing on a loop the audiobook of The Audacity of Hope, read by Barack Obama. Are you with me on this? America has spoken. Thank you very much.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
The Vino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne-Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne-Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love completely. To wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
It's the Fabulous D Show.
I'm all tied up, spread eagle.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Up All Night. Good evening, Anne.
Hey, Dee. How are you, man?
JuiceTalk.com.
Sarah Huckabee Colonel Sanders ain't finger-licking good.
Oh, my.
If you ask me.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
As a so-called president's press secretary, she's supposed to answer questions asked by the members of the press, you know, that club Trump calls fake news. It is so infuriating to those with a brain that the fascist oligarchical kleptocracy of the Trump administration calls the mainstream media fake news when everything they say is a fabrication, a blatant lie.
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
For example, Miss Colonel Sanders said at the podium at the press briefing on March 27, 2018, that the United States Census questionnaire has, quote, always, has, quote, always had a question about whether or not each one of us filling out the questionnaire is, in fact, a citizen. There has been no such question in the 1970 census, none in the 1980 census, none in the 1990 census, none in the 2000 census, and none in the 2010 census. So, for at least half a century, the United States Census questionnaire did not have any questions asking if each one of us is a citizen. So how does that equal, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, to always? I don't think it does. It's a lie.
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Now, if Betsy DeVos, press secretary of Educoatun, said this, then I would say it was not a lie, that she is just ignorant of the fact. In fact, all this talk about the census, Betsy DeVos is recommending people use Allegra or Flonase, and there won't be a census problem. The Trump base, I guess, just takes everything the administration as, well, gospel. This brings me to the next gripe of this episode, Savino Veritas, the fine wine of select gripes. It brings me to the next gripe, the ultra-conservative, fanatically religious, so-called Christian evangelical wing of Trump's base. Miss Colonel Sanders and her dad are part of that mix. My gripe? Hypocrisy, willful ignorance, or some sort of social blindness for people who say they live their lives in line with the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the New Testament. They seem perfectly okay with Trump's adultery, sexual abuse, dishonesty, thievery, corruption, selfishness, lying, cheating, stealing, and hatred to mankind in general. I could go on, and I will, Remember, this show is a weekly show. We're on every Thursday night. I will be bringing up more things because we are dedicated to the proposition that not all presidents are created equal. This is Sabino Veritas, and we are on every week on SRN1 and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School JuicedDoc.com. So I will definitely bring up these things every week, as I have been, until the cancer is gone. If you're a Christian yourself, you know enough about Christ to think these evangelicals who support Trump are simply practicing forgiveness? Well, there's a fine line between offering forgiveness to one who is authentically remorseful and one who seeks to correct his sins, and the other side of the line where you're simply enabling a lost soul so deeply submerged in deceit that he can't even see the errors of his ways. And that, of course, is Trump. Chris Hayes, on his All In with Chris Hayes show the other day, interviewed David Brody, the chief news correspondent at the Christian Broadcasting Network. They talked about evangelical tolerance of Trump's behavior in regard to Stormy Daniels. Let's listen.
Co-author of the new book, The Faith of Donald J. Trump. Joining me now is David Brody, chief political correspondent for CBN News from the Christian Broadcasting Network. He's the co-author of the new book, The Faith of Donald J. Trump, A Spiritual Biography. And I'm tempted to make a joke about the book being short. Here's something you said in the wake of the interview. Attention, mainstream media, if you think the Stormy Daniels 60 Minutes interview on CBS News is going to move the needle downward regarding evangelical support for real Donald Trump, you would be dead wrong. Don't expect any change. I saw that and agreed with it. Why is that the case? What's the fundamental dynamic here?
So many different reasons underline that, Chris, but I'll tell you this. Look, when it comes to the mainstream media, the evangelicals do believe in what Donald Trump calls fake news. And I know that term is toxic, and I know Donald Trump kind of came up with it in the last few years. But look, evangelicals have been believing that about the mainstream media for a very long time. So the more the mainstream media piles on Donald Trump and they consider Stormy Daniels part of the pile on, it's not going anywhere. Right. That needle's not moving at all,
well,
Chris.
Okay, but that's, so there's one issue, right, where you can say, well, these are a group of people who just do not trust what they hear. But here's what I found really interesting. This is white evangelicals being polled on this. Do you believe Trump or the women? Okay. 40% say the women, 36% say Trump, 24% aren't sure. A plurality actually believe the women. So the issue here isn't they're saying this is fake. They're saying, yeah, I believe this happened. I do not care.
Yeah, but Chris, here's the thing. They believed some of all those other stories, too, back from the 80s and the 90s. And look, Donald Trump got into this race and everybody knew this just in. He's not a Boy Scout. And they understood that. They voted for him anyhow. Now, there's a lot of reasons as to why we can get into all of that. But the bottom line is they see this culture go to you know what in a handbasket. And they say, you know what? Enough of that. They also feel they're being played by the Republican Party. And they say, you know what? We're going to go for this guy. We're going to give this guy a shot.
Well, see, so from a purely pragmatic perspective, I get that, right? There are two political coalitions in American life. He's on my team. He represents my coalition. He empowers it. I don't care what he does in his personal life. I'm going with him. But if that's true, does that at least sort of retroactively apply where we're not going to see evangelicals make a big deal out of, you know, the private behavior of politicians, Democrats they don't like? Do they regret everything they said about Bill Clinton when they were just basically marching on Washington? Did they get the guy run out of town because of his dastardly private deeds?
Legitimate question, Chris. Look, they believe in the grace principle. And, you know, they understand that we're all in need of God's forgiveness. We're all sinners. And so, you know, where does grace run out? Well, here's the good news. Grace doesn't run out with Jesus Christ at all. Now, Well, hang on, Chris. It might run out with liberals or conservatives
David,
me, but not God.
I've read my Bible and I grew up in the church. And grace, grace doesn't come cheap, and you got to ask for it. And you got to ask for forgiveness, and you have to be pious. And you have to pray to your Lord God and Savior, and you have to ask for it. You have to have a change of heart. You have to reach out spiritually. Is there a single person on God's great earth who believes that Donald Trump is doing that?
Well, I can tell you this. I interviewed him, and you can Google it, Chris. I interviewed him in 2015, in August, September of 2015, and he said he does ask God for forgiveness. He talked about that. Now, look, that's his word. I mean, I'm not God.
He also
God.
Talked about, but, he also talked about, when you asked him what God means to him, he talked about how great his golf course is that he didn't have a mortgage on.
Yeah, look, the bottom line is this, Chris. Evangelicals and Donald Trump see the world very much in absolutes, good versus evil, right and wrong, all of that. And I'm telling you, maybe it's a Dr. Phil experiment at some point, but I'm telling you what's going on. They both are bold in their views, and they've also they've also been criticized for those views, and you put it all together, and they feel a kinship between themselves.
That I get. A set of absolute beliefs and being in the bunker with them. I think that is actually quite descriptive. But here is a question. Is there a breaking point? Is there a revelation that could come out about Donald Trump, about his private behavior, about his public behavior, about anything he did? Roy Moore, we saw this put to the test with Roy Moore. This is a person credibly accused of molesting children who still won, 80% of white evangelicals in Alabama. Is there something that Donald Trump could do to lose that support, or is it just the case that he could literally do anything?
Chris, Bill Clinton had a Monica Lewinsky. Right now, we don't see a Monica Lewinsky in the Donald Trump White House. If that happened, Chris, game, set, match, it's over for Donald Trump with evangelicals. Now, you say why?
Wait a second. You really think that?
Why.
Okay.
Oh, well, let me explain. When I say game, set, match, remember, he won 81% of the evangelical vote, the ones that showed up, 81%.
White evangelicals.
He will not get 81%. And if he doesn't get 81%, it's game, set, match for him. So that's important to point out. And you might ask, well, why in the world does that matter compared to 12 years ago? Because evangelicals at that point, just like any constituency, would feel played at that point. He's promoting Judeo-Christian values, but then doing something, against that right in the here and now, that would be a real issue for them. But once again, we don't see that. And in the book, I can tell you that he has so many evangelicals around him right now from a spiritual perspective that the sense is, from our reporting over 100 interviews, he is indeed on a spiritual journey that has evolved in the last few years. Remember, Chris, you're talking about 10, 12 years ago. We haven't seen anything in the last few years. That's what the book shows.
I guess the Lord works in mysterious ways if he is, in fact, on a spiritual journey. David Brody, thanks for being with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
I actually got along well with Rex, but really it was a different mindset. It was a different thinking.
Did you fire him because he called you a moron?
What?
Did you fire him because he called you a moron?
Say it again.
Moron.
What?
Moron.
What?
Moron.
What?
Moron.
What? Say it again.
Did you fire him because he called you a moron?
Was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period. Both in person and around the globe. These attempts to lessen the enthusiasm of the inauguration are shameful and wrong. The president is committed to unifying our country. And that was the focus of his inaugural address. This kind of dishonesty in the media, the challenging that bringing about our nation together is making it more difficult. There's been a lot of talk in the media about the responsibility to hold Donald Trump accountable. And I'm here to tell you that it goes two ways. We're going to hold the press accountable as well.
In a White House that has more turnover than the throne of Wakanda, there's probably only one person who's never going to get fired. And it's the woman who's out there consistently defending the president. White House press secretary and living side-eye emoji, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah. She's formidable, she's calculating, and most importantly, she's not this guy.
Hey, guys, good afternoon. With respect to over the... Hold on one second. You're shaking your head. I appreciate it, but...
Denmark.
Please stop shaking your head again, Secretary of Education. Points. This is the 2009 memo. And then this one is the... I've got the 13 here as well.
Oh, man. I miss Spicy. Has anybody actually checked on Sean Spicer, by the way? Like, he seems like the type of dude to get stuck in a well somewhere. We have to just make sure. But as soon as Sarah Huckabee Sanders came on board, every journalist in the press briefing knew immediately who was in charge.
You guys seem to get very confused, and it seems to happen regularly. If you want to get into a debate with a four-star Marine general, I think that that's something highly inappropriate. Only if your mind is in the gutter would you have read it that way. And so, no. And I'm going to say once and for all that I'm moving on to Jim Stinson, and I'm not taking another question from you at this point.
Wow. Any leader would be lucky to have a press secretary who can crush questions like that. Like, she could be working back in the day. People would ask her if Pontius Pilate killed Jesus, and she would just be like, Pontius Pilate couldn't have killed him because last I checked, Jesus is alive and well. Are you saying our Lord and Savior is dead, are you? No, ma'am. No, further questions. It takes a special individual to handle everything that this administration throws at them. Like, and I'm honestly just grateful that Sanders confines her powers to the press room. Because if you applied her tactics in the real world, who knows what could happen?
If I could have a dream, I wouldn't be so blue. I'd never seen a girl as...
This line is 10 items or less.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just one item over. Maybe you could just...
No.
Fine. I'll just let it be. Oh, hi.
Do me a favor. Shut off that garbage.
Not technically.
Shut it off!
Does he, just let it be.
Strong, she is confident. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has done a fantastic job.
The premise of your question is completely ridiculous and shows the lack of knowledge that you have on this process. We're ready to move forward and focus on the questions of the day that the American people have. If anything has been inflamed, it's the dishonesty that often takes place by the news media.
This woman can talk her way out of anything.
I'm sorry, I'm not finished. That's a ridiculous characterization. It is outrageous for you to accuse me.
I can't comment on specifics. I can't comment. I can't just let it be. I gotta let it Huckabee.
I'm sorry.
You can't be in this line. You have too many items.
Yeah, out of line, lady.
Look, you guys want to talk about items and lines and numbers. I'm trying to move forward on this issue. So we can stand here and litigate this, or we can get these fine people back home to their families.
Wrapped up silicone twins, hands on the watch, no stopping us.
What's up?
Christ's sakes, could you please turn that music down?
You know what? I'm gonna direct that request to the department to go f*** yourself.
There's no department. Gotta talk about all that I'm thinking
brand new. Mr. I don't give a f***, especially about you.
Hey, that's my cab.
This cab belongs to the American people, and they voted for me to have it. The media needs to move on.
Megyn Kelly-ass bitch.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
I don't have anything else to add on that topic.
Stressed out on my list. We can get it all like this. Getting some all I miss. Turn it up, that's my shit.
First up, this is a robbery. Also, we're not going to be taking any questions today.
Should we put our hands up?
Send no questions.
Freeze!
These people don't care about me freezing. They care about putting food on the table. That's why I'm appropriating these jewels. Not for me, but for the American people.
This is your last warning.
Just give her the jewels, asshole.
I think we've already pursued this line of questioning, so if there's nothing else, I'm gonna call it a day.
If I could have a dream, I'd have a dream of you, my love.
And sit back. The American people elected a fighter. They didn't elect somebody to sit back and do nothing.
Desi Lydic, everybody.
That was Desi Lydic. Desi Lydic from Comedy Central's Trevor Noah's The Daily Show. This is Tom Savino with Savino Veritas. Before we move on, I just want to say that the New York Yankees won opening day. You know, this is Savino Veritas, heard every Thursday evening at 11 p.m. Eastern Time from SRN1 in Toronto, Canada. The New York Yankees on opening day today just beat the Toronto Blue Jays. Sorry, Toronto. I appreciate all you do for me, but I must insist the Yankees win, and they did. Giancarlo Stanton made an incredible debut, hitting two home runs, one 434 feet, but nevertheless two home runs, and I believe another double, and unbelievable number of runs batted in. I've had at least three, I think. And the Yankees won 6-1. Aaron Judge also doubled and singled and scored a few times. Gary Sanchez doubled in a run. Brett Gardner hit a home run. And the pitching for the Yankees with Luis Severino and Betances and Aroldis Chapman looked good. Keep up at this pace. It'll be wonderful in October.
We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
Hey!
Ball two.
Hey!
Strike one.
Woo!
Right.
Hey!
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
We need a hit, so here I go.
We dream of Joey with the line from back. Joe, Joe DiMaggio.
We want you on
that? Our Joe, one night in Cleveland, oh, 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 goodbye Street DiMaggio.
Jolton Joe DiMaggio, that was Brown, more or less. Well, it is baseball's opening day, and we'll now join the Democrats and the Republicans who are facing off in Washington, D.C. with the umpiring of Neil Gorsuch. Let's join Crunch Granola and his female color announcer, Wicked Hop.
Good afternoon, everyone. And Crunch Granola coming to you from the stadium in Washington, D.C., where we have the opening day of the 2017 political baseball season with the Democrats versus the Republicans. And Chuck Schumer on the mound for the Democrats. With me today is the color announcer, Wicked Hop.
Hi, Crunch. It's great to be with you today on this opening day of Major League Baseball, especially when I'm the color announcer. It's going to be a challenging opening day for the Democrats because of the rule changes. We are in the Republicans' home field, and in the Republicans' home field, of course, especially with the new Trumpire, Neil Gorsuch, the rules could change at any time in favor, of course, of the Republicans.
Yes, yes, there's been some understanding about that. What Wicked is talking about, of course, is the rules change as the game is going along. Since this is the Republicans' home field, and they get to call and change the rules. So, who do we have up first here? Let's get to the first pitch of opening day. And Paul Ryan throws a high inside fastball for strike. The inside corner is up at bat. Corey Booker. Ryan taking the ball, rubbing it down, getting ready for the next pitch to Corey Booker. And here it comes. Booker styles one. It's good. It drops for a base hit. Oh, no. Right fielder Mitch McConnell throws out Corey Booker at first base. That was a close play. Gonna have a replay on that?
Crunch, don't expect many replays today as the Republicans are home field advantage and with Neil Gorsuch as the Trumpire, there would be no need to really review the decisions as Neil Gorsuch will just change the decisions.
Yes, I guess there won't be any replays today since the Republicans are home field and they get to call and change the rules as they go. Now up to bat is Nancy Pelosi. Oh, she knocks that one into left field and went out. Oh, caught. Caught by Evan Nunes. He's not rushing any plays. Taking his time. And up third for the Democrats.
Looking at a replay myself, Crunch, I see that Nunes did trap the ball and he did not catch it cleanly. It is really a base hit for Nancy Pelosi. However, Neil Gorsuch, the Trumpire, has called it an out.
Senator Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, right-handed batter. I come to the right side. Here is a pitch. Ooh, that's a ball inside. Almost hit Sanders.
While clearly Senator Sanders is batting from the right side, he's a right-handed batter, right-handed thrower. However, the Republicans program, and as they list Senator Sanders as an extreme left batter, an extreme left thrower, extreme left. This is part of their new programming of the alternative facts.
And here's the next pitch of Bernie Sanders from Paul Ryan. And it knocks back right directly to Paul Ryan, and the Democrats are out. 1-2-3 coming up now. The Republicans will take out their Democrats are out. 1-2-3. On opening day. It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C., and That's a strike. A beautiful pitch by the Democrat pitcher, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi threw that pitch beautifully.
In case you're wondering, Chuck Schumer was supposed to pitch for the Democrats, but was ejected during the inning change by Neil Gorsuch for questioning the Trumpire's call.
As Senator Ted Cruz takes a pitch that he could have hit, but there's a lot of spin on that ball.
If the Democrats have any chance of winning today, they're going to have to take a page out of the Republicans' playbook and spin everything. Everything should be spun. Everything should be spinning. Otherwise, the Democrats have no chance.
Let's go now to the second pitch of the ball game. The second pitch. Oh, Pelosi get another high one. It got two strikes on Cruz. Two strikes on Cruz. Can Pelosi strike out Cruz? Let's see. She struck him out. Nancy Pelosi strikes out Ted Cruz with a high, hard one on the inside corner. And Cruz doesn't like that, and he says he would like to do that over again. Today's Trumpire is Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch is the home plate Trumpire. Up second for the... And Pelosi's really throwing the heat as the second batter for the Pelicans.
Not too surprising that Trumpire Gorsuch ruled against Cruz, because everybody hates Cruz.
Governor Chris Christie. Oh, takes the ball inside. That was inside. It gets with Chris Christie at the plate. Inside is a big area and almost hit Christie, but Pelosi throws the next pitch for Christie, and here it is. And Christie hits one deep. Oh, caught by the shortstop. In a deep out, the shortstop made it all the way to the outfield, and there's Elizabeth Warren making that catch. There's two outs for the Republicans, and two outs for the Republicans, and up third net for the Republicans is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell takes ball one high inside. Strike one as he took a swing at that sinker that Pelosi threw. One ball, one strike. Ball two on the inside corner to McConnell. We're in the bottom of the first. There's no score right now between the Republicans and the Democrats. That's right down the middle, and Mitch McConnell just looked at that one. He would like to perhaps recuse himself. And up on deck is the cleanup hitter for the Republicans. We now have a full count on McConnell, 3-2. A full count, three balls, two strikes, and here's Pelosi's deciding pitch. And McConnell knocks from the center field. That's a base hit. McConnell beats it out at first and throw as a center fielder for the Democrats throws it to first base. Cleanup hitter for the Republicans is pitcher Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan is up there taking Nancy Pelosi's pitch. Right, he just swung at that high, hard one on the inside as it moved inside. Had a nice movement on that pitch. Strike two. Pelosi's got 0-2 on Ryan with two outs in the bottom of the first. There's no score right now.
Mitch McConnell, of course, is taking a big lead off first base as he is a threat to steal. He certainly has a history of that. He is a big, big asset to the Pelicans, of course. And with Nancy Pelosi pitching, if they switch pitchers, McConnell, of course, could switch sides as he is a switch hitter.
Strike three. What is that? Neil Gorsuch, the Trumpire, says that there will be a do-over for that pitch, even though clearly Ryan swung and missed, not even near it, and the Democrats are walking off the field, and they're walking off the field, and it looks like the Pelicans are just going to hit the ball with no fielders. So it is strike one as Paul Ryan gets another shot at a chance to hit because of Neil Gorsuch, the Trumpire, who said, get up again despite your striking out. And Pelosi's going to slow it down with her changeup. Ryan, swings that ball. It's gone. It is gone. That's a home run. And what is this? Gorsuch? Neil Gorsuch is ruling that Mitch McConnell, who was on first base, should score and Paul Ryan scores. But he's also saying that Chris Christie, who was up before and the leadoff batter for the Republicans, come out of the dugout and run the bases, and he's going to call that a grand slam. That's a grand slam. Well, it looks like the Pelicans win 4-0 on a Grand Slam home run by Paul Ryan after Neil Gorsuch ruled in favor of the Pelicans. Democrats walking off the field, and Neil Gorsuch is calling the game as a Democrat, and the Democrats forfeited. I hope you enjoyed opening day here in Washington, D.C. Stay with us for more rule changes in Major League Baseball. This is Crunch Cronulla.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.